John.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good.
Missed you. I missed you.
My volume here. It's always a little different with you.
Let's see. I think I had to change it. It's up to 100. So if I take it down to 60, let me talk now.
Talking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
That sounds good.
6, 7.
That sounds good.
I'll pop. Sounds good?
Yep. Last time you're overmodulating, so this something's better now.
Okay. Well, good.
I have a little cough. It's killing me. All right. 2 seconds, please. Okay. Okay. Here we go.
Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
It's the 28th of the month of April.
Yeah.
Wrapping it up.
Yeah, it feels like we've only done 3 shows.
2026, yeah, and I wonder why.
How you doing? People want to know. I'm sure you talked about this. I know you did.
I'm doing fine.
Everything's good. You sound better today.
Good.
You don't have any of that fluid buildup anymore?
It seems to be dissipating.
Yeah, that's good. All right, well, we got a lot to catch up on because in your absence, we ran a really great best of that was pretty funny, actually. It talked about some of our proclivities towards different food items and all sorts of other fun things. But let's get into what's going on with the markets, because that's what people are listening to us for. And wouldn't you know it, what a month. Huge moves, all from tweets, X, through social media, which would used to be called, it wasn't insider trading. It was called a disclosure of non-public information through the proper channels. Remember, there was a big issue many, many years ago when social media came out, and there was a big question of, you know, can a company dissipate either earnings, guidance, or any other kind of non-publicly disclosed items, and would that be considered legal? Because was it fair that some people got it and some people didn't?
Right.
Well, that's out the window. You know, everybody assumes that we're going to all see it on True Social somehow. I don't know. Do you have an account?
On what?
Truth Social?
On Truth Social? No.
Yeah, so there you go. So therefore, you're not privy to that information in real time. Therefore, you know, you don't have the advantage that some others have. So now that whole thing is gone, though. You know, during Trump 1, that was thrown out the window. And everybody can say whatever they want now, no matter how non-public. Nobody cares. That's a good point you make. Earnings season, banks did really well in the last week. We saw some industrials get some, you know, question marks. We have some earnings coming out from technology this week. Big week on technology. As a matter of fact, there's a big carrot ahead of this week and next week's tech giants coming out. A lot of bull thesis on this. In fact, you can see that by the fact that the S&P 500 is up about 9% for the month, whereas the equal-weighted S&P 500, if you don't weight the major names, you know, the NVIDIAs, the Microsofts, the Metas, and all those. If you don't weight those, it's only up 4.5% for the month. So that extra 4.5%+ is due to all the run in just a handful of stocks.
Up.
Yeah. Pretty cool. It is the 28th. I'd like to say a belated 420 day to all you stoners out there. And probably one of the things you could do right now is grab a gummy, come back in about 45 minutes and listen to the show. It will be much better.
Yeah.
You'll enjoy it a lot more. Tariff refunds now available. Companies are getting tariff. As a matter of fact, there was an interesting, I just thought of this. This morning, GM came out with their earnings, and included in their outlook and guidance was a $500 million assumption of tariff refunds back to the company from the government.
They're optimistic.
Point, though, is...
Are they sure they're going to get this money?
They obviously put into their... I mean, if they win either way, right? If they don't get the money, then they just blame the government, like, oh my God, you terrible government people. You're fleecing the public. And if they do get the money back, I think they keep it. I don't think it's coming back to somebody that bought a GM.
You think somebody that bought a GM over the last year that they increased the rates on, they'll say
we've their money.
We'll absorb it. No, they're not going to get it. How do you prove that?
You can't, I guess.
I don't think any of these companies actually put a tariff surcharge. They just bump prices or didn't. So they'll just come back and say we absorbed the price into our earnings, and that's why our earnings were down, and it's just a payback. No individual, in my opinion, is getting any money back for what was possibly included as a tariff over the last however long it is. You're not getting it. Companies are going to get it. Once again, companies win. Master plan to jack
maybe
the stock
that's
market.
The idea all along.
Is this was the whole thing that it's going to be illegal, and what happen is companies will get the money back, and that will just juice the shares even more. Squeeze the shorts. Who knows?
Pretty good trick.
Nice. Right now, there's a balanced risk in the markets. I see that a lot of people are talking about this balanced risk, pretty much evenly matched whether it's going to be up or down from here, and probably we could say that over the last few weeks. Interesting story out today that will talk about this whole issue regarding the OpenAI, ChatGPT, Sam Altman. There was an announcement or something, a story. New York, I think it was Wall Street Journal, New York Times. I don't remember which one. There was a story that OpenAI said that they are not meeting their numbers. And we'll talk about that and what happened to cratering some stocks today. Mr. Trump, President Trump, last week said, hey, no more Mr. Nice Guy. I'm not postponing the inevitable end of civilization and all that. But he seems kind of bored of the whole thing now, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. Maybe he is. I mean, it's like, what are you going to do with these Iranians? They don't budge, and they're kind of they don't want to negotiate. They want to, if you listen to some people that analyze what they're really up to, is that they're trying to get to the end of the world, end of the civilization themselves, by creating chaos and hoping for the 12th imam to appear after 1,000 years in isolation.
He's going to be hungry. He's going to be very hungry.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now.
He could have been eating all along.
Maybe. Isolation will be horny, though. How's that?
Yeah, maybe.
Well, I mean, it's been in isolation for 1,000 years. I mean, seeing a goat's going to get exciting for him.
Yeah, I lose interest after 1,000 years.
Maybe. But this whole thing where the idea is that, we're just going to back off now, allow the nuclear ambitions to go on. Hopefully they'll open up the Straits of Hormuz, blah, 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 blah. I mean, can you seriously, just for a moment, can you believe that with all that's gone on, the Strait of Hormuz is still closed?
Yeah.
It's pretty fascinating.
I know. Yeah, I think Europe's got like 6 weeks left of jet fuel.
Yep. The good news is China's going to start selling it. We're going to talk about that in a second. There's some really fascinating undertones to what that's all about. The whole China selling various things like diesel, oil, and jet fuel from a country that imports 70%+ of their oil and their various petro stuff. How is that? Kind of interesting. There's a play there. They're doing this.
Yeah, there's a play for us too.
Yeah, there's an interesting play going on in this whole situation here. We have a new blockchain SPAC meme that is pushing stocks. It was inevitable, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
I mean, this company said, no, we're no longer a toy company. We're now a blockchain company. Ah, stocks up 600%. Same thing happened with the various SPACs, out of nowhere. Company's going to roll itself into a SPAC. We followed this. This is over years. We could probably mention, a dozen of these? And now there's a new one. Do you know what it is?
No, I don't.
.ai.
Oh, God.
And these stocks are moving. And one of the ones that came out recently was Allbirds. That stock, the shoe company?
Mm-hmm.
They're basically going bankrupt.
Yeah, you should have been on this. You're the shoe guy.
Yeah, true.
company who's going bankrupt decides that they sell off their product line. They're going to convert into an AI through another company and stock, bam, up 600%. So this has gone on a few times recently. So keep a watch on that. We're going to also announce the winner of the close to the pin for Netgear. Nice fellow. Won it, came pretty close. All right, let's talk about this a little bit. Let's talk about the open, close, closed, open. Who knows what's going on? Straits of Hormuz. Brief opening allowed for a cruise ship to sneak by. And supposedly there's some rumor that a large private vessel, you know, yacht, from Russia was allowed to pass. And who do you think they are saying was on that boat?
Putin?
That's correct. How much do you believe that ridiculous rumor?
I don't believe it at all.
Why would he do such a thing?
He wouldn't. That's not Putin's style.
It's not his style. And it's dumb. So I don't know where that came from. But there was the Celestial Discovery, a 1,360-guest vessel operated by Greece-based Celestial Cruises, departed Port Rashid in Dubai on April 17th. Became the first cruise ship to exit the strait. Now tell me something, John. Would you be on that boat?
No.
Not just for a little fun, excitement?
Cruise ships anyway. Would you be on the boat? It's a bigger question.
Would I be on that boat? I don't see. Where am I going? What am I doing? Are they giving me free passage? I'm going where for the free passage? They give me free food, free drinks. They got to do. No. I guess the answer is no.
No.
No. Pretty scary. Can you imagine that? All right. All passengers on the front, left and right, and on the sides, please just keep a watch for any landmines that you may see off the sides of the ship. And please, if anybody sees one, please raise your hand and wave it around. And we'll give you a $100 credit in the casino if you see one. You know? It's so dumb. Oil's hovering for a while in the 80 to 90 range. You know, with WTI oil finished today at right at 100. Let's see where it is now, shall we? Let's take a look at the live oil feed that we have coming into the studios right now, John. $100.12. $100.12. And that, just to be clear, is up 74% for the year. And by the way, good news, John, that does not cause any problems at all. Because people...
No. Says who?
It says the markets. The markets, this is where it was right before the ceasefire. Remember, it came down after the ceasefire. So what that tells me, by the way, watch your news feed somewhere between the 7:30 to 9:30 hour over the next couple of days. If oil pops up, they're going to start talking about how not only do we have a ceasefire, but and there is plans, there is discussion. I read about it today that many of the government, where would this be? This would be in defense and I guess in various components, are studying what the impact will be if, in fact, President Trump declares that we have won the war. What would Iran do with that circumstance? So if he comes out, do you think this is possible? He comes out and says, hey, we won the war. We've pretty much taken their nuclear ambitions down to whatever. We've starved them for a long period of time. We've killed their people, regime change. And now we're just going to go right now. And since there is no nuclear possibility, we're not going to deal with talking about it. Who cares? Let's just stop everything and open the Straits of Hormuz.
Well, something like that is what has to happen.
Right.
To get the Straits opened. But do they really want them open? There's always some theory that, you know, just putting the squeeze on Europe is something Trump likes to do.
Well, Europe snapped back today. In Germany, they talked about how Iran is humiliating the U.S. And I don't think President Trump's going to take that too well. He doesn't like when people talk negatively about him. Because, by the way, he's very nice. He doesn't talk negatively about anybody else. But when you talk negatively about him or his wife, what do you do? Well, the FCC goes after Disney today. FCC wants to pull forward the license renewal and their license... what's the word I'm looking for? You know, they're going to look
license.
Into the license renewal process. They want to pull it forward. Now, I'm sure this has nothing to do with Jimmy Kimmel saying some harsh words about Meliana. Nothing.
Well, one of the Kimmel's kind of a thorn in the side of Disney. They got to do something with this guy.
Well, the thorn because he's saying stuff that just gets him in trouble, but that's the whole point. If you believe in free speech, I mean, let's be honest for a second here. He's allowed to say what he wants to say. Now, whether or not he's just attacking Trump all the time and nobody else, he doesn't.
Yeah, if you believe in free speech, and Kimmel's a big chatterbox about free speech,
yeah.
But he's the first one who jumped on Roseanne Barr and told them to fire her, and she was expressing free speech in a tweet. It wasn't even on the air.
Roseanne! Oh, God, her voice was so annoying, wasn't it?
Meow.
Oh. That was like, who was that other one? The nanny. Remember the nanny? Hello.
Yes, she's the head of the Actors Guild, I think.
Is she?
Yeah.
Hello. How are you? Fran Dresser here. Fran Dresser. God, sounds like everybody I knew from back in New York, by the way, right there. That's like everybody. Hello, Andrew. How are you? Come over here. Ugh. Although I had a grandma.
Nail it, by the way.
I have years of hearing it. I had a grandmother. Her name was Little Nana Ruth. Little Nana Ruth stood, I don't know, maybe 4'8". And she was married to Papa Louie. Now, Papa Louie wore Coke bottle glasses. He smoked a cigar. And he literally believed that pro wrestling was real.
Yeah.
Little Nana Ruth loved me. She's my great grandmother, by the way. And she would come. She had this Brooklyn old Jewish line, Eastern European kind of thing going on. And every time I'd see her, she'd come up. She, you know, this 4'8" woman, Andy. She'd talk like that. Andy, come over here. Give me a kiss. That's how she talked. Little Nana Ruth. Gotta love that. They don't make them like that anymore. Let's be honest.
Yeah, it's Car 54, where are you?
Yeah, she wore a shmata. You know what a shmata is?
Yeah, I think so.
She wore like a one-piece buttons from the like bottom all the way up.
With Jewish style.
Yeah, and then these big black shoes, like for people with, major arthritic feet or something. Yeah, it was something. She'd clop around on those things. Anyway, back to oil, shall we? United Arab Emirates leaving OPEC. Did you catch the story?
Yep.
I don't know if
they don't want to be tied down to the price schemes. They want to do their own thing.
Kind of fascinating. They account for about 12% of OPEC and about 4% of the world's oil production and flow. They want more flexibility. There also seems to be some kind of a rift with Saudi Arabia and others because they said, hey, you know what? You guys haven't protected us, man. You got this stuff going on and we got freaking rockets flying in from Iran.
Yeah.
What's the deal of this whole cartel? Which, by the way, the idea of something called OPEC cartel just sounds like a bad thing, doesn't it? Doesn't it sound like you're getting ripped off?
Sounds like mobsters.
Yeah. I mean, you would think over the years their PR agents would be like, hey, let's think about softening this a little bit and changing the name to the OPEC pillow group or something. I don't know. You know, the OPEC oil, the smooth OPEC oil group, something. But now what's happening is that China has decided in all of this, as you had mentioned, that there's about a four-week now, period of time till Europe runs out of jet fuel. By the way, which would be about 2 months before my trip to Europe.
Ah, good.
Yeah.
You'll be stuck there forever.
Yes. I'll have to finally bring the to-go kit that I have with all the mini stuff and all the mini mics and all of it. I'm ready to go. I just never needed it yet. So... And I think I'd actually do this. I think I could run the show the whole way, live, the whole thing. I set it up, about 6 months ago and tested it out a few times. And the good news is I'm on the same laptop, so that's good. But,
is it all of Europe or is it just, is Hungary still getting their oil from Russia? Can you just take a train to Hungary and then take a flight out?
Well, the good news is that's one of the places I'm going. You want to guess some more? I don't know how you're guessing this. It's one place. Anywhere else?
Well, I guess I would think maybe Poland.
Poland is number two. Number three, you're not going to get.
So you're going to Hungary? It's supposed to be great.
Yeah. I've got to go to Budapest. Budapest. This is all, of course, about a food tour. You know that, right? I got cooking classes. I got markets. Last is, from what I understand, the food central foodie area in France called Lyon.
Yeah, that would be right.
So going there is the end of this trip.
What about Spain? Spain's got some.
I was there a couple of years ago. Loved it. Loved it.
San Sebastian's target.
Love it. Spain's great. China now is going to begin exporting jet fuel, diesel, and gasoline. Now, here's the big question. This is not just a news item. This is not just a headline that you have to look at, because you have to ask a very important question here. Is China going to price, probably, but I'll give it to you. Is China going to price the oil that they're exporting, the diesel fuel, the jet fuel, in yuan? Or as they say it in China, yuan. Are they going to do that?
Well, when I was in China, they pronounce it Juan, like Mexican gardener. I don't know. I mean, they probably shouldn't. It really gets us irked when people pull that stunt.
Here we go. Hang on a second. Let me see if I can do this.
Yuan.
Yuan. That's one. Here, Chinese pronounce it. They pronounce it Yuan. Yuan. Y-W-E-N. Yuan. Rhymes with when. Yuan. Yuan. Yeah, when I was in China, Yuan. I'm like, I win? Excellent. Thank you. Now, here's a problem, John C. Dvorak. Right now, the world deals with oil in petrodollars, we call it. And we are we're the dollars. And we control it. It is very good for our dollar, because what happens is that brings money into the United States. Under every single situation where there is an oil pricing, the money comes in the United States, technically, or comes into the system, has to be converted into dollars from whatever, then bought through dollars, the petrodollars, to buy the oil. There has been a constant discussion from the BRIC countries like Brazil and Russia, India, China, BRIC, B-R-I-C. And they have talked about, you know, we're sick of this. We don't want to be held hostage to your currency and move. What are we doing here? You know, we got to buy the currency and then we got to use it for this. It could be all over the place. It's not good for us. So they want to change out the reliance and really the monopoly that we have in the United States on oil and the purchasing of oil through the petrodollar to something else. This has been an ongoing situation for years.
Yeah, for years, with every Tom, Dick, and Harry who comes along.
Do you think it's going to happen?
Well, we do everything we can to keep it from happening. We're pretty good at it.
I don't think it's going to happen for a very long period of time, but this is just another wedge inside of the situation that's going on with regard to this oil kerfuffle thing. So just keep a watch on it. I think it's important to keep a watch on it, because if this continues and this starts going on the back end, and if they start, not only China, but other countries, this will be one more reason that the dollar is going to lose some of its value, which we've seen. All right, economics. Yeah. Retail sales up more than expected. That's kind of surprising, don't you think?
Yeah.
Obviously, a part of that is because of higher prices of things like oil. But stripping out gas prices still beat expectations. So there's two charts on here. You can go over to dhunplugged.com. Episode 800, by the way. Oh, got a round number.
Yeah, today's episode 800. Congratulations.
Thank you. Congratulations to you. That's a lot of episodes.
Send us some donations to the show because of show 800 that we're doing.
I mean, what would be the appropriate?
$800.
That would be the appropriate amount. I know, yeah.
You can go 80 or 80 or 8.
80. $8, $80, $80 and 80. 80 would be good. 80-80 would be like a kind of a thing. You can go over to dhunplugged.com. You can check out where it says donate now. There's little red, yellow buttons everywhere. I don't know where red come from. Yellow buttons everywhere. And if you haven't given in the past, this is the time to do so. Because soon it's going to be episode 1,000 and then your price goes up. So think of it that way. Getting off cheap right now. All right, let's talk about this. The chart that I mentioned is on the show notes. Let's click on retail sales first, shall we? So retail sales, if you go further back than 2021, charts make no sense. Reason being that the drop from COVID and the spike, the 50% reduction, the 50% up, throws all your charts into a wacky zone. I still have not really figured out how to normalize them to a point that it makes any sense. But retail sales here up 4.5%. This is on a year-over-year basis. Not terrible.
No,
definitely on the reasonable. On the slope up. Here's what doesn't square. Click on your consumer confidence number.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's under 50.
Lowest in history. History. 75 years. History. So
the
how
most in history?
The most in history. It's the most going back 75 years in the University of Michigan.
Yet people are buying more.
But people,
how does that work?
That's my question. That's exactly.
I don't know. Nobody knows. That's what this is. Everyone's a buzz about this dilemma.
In other
contradiction.
In other administrations, we would say something like that somebody's fudging some numbers. We would talk about that. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know. I'm not even suggesting that's the case, actually. But something's amiss. Doesn't work. I mean, people are maybe confusing their misery about, well, how about this? People are miserable because of, I don't know what, the war, the things like that. And they're just like, hell with it. The only way, maybe, I actually understand this. You know what? I'm going to make myself feel better. I'm going to buy myself a new shirt. I'm going to buy myself a new watch, a new piece of jewelry. And they just go and do it.
Maybe. I mean, it's possible.
Yeah. But that's what they're doing. Chip companies. Marvel shares jumped 7% last week by a report that the information said the company's in talks with Google to build new AI chips. So there you go, the AI button.
Build new chips. Or has Marvel got a fab?
Google's
already got these chips designed.
Yeah, but they're gonna help them build, and there's going to be new ones, and there's got to be new ones, and just on and on and on and on. Look, SanDisk reported tonight. They a blowout number.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Stock was up like 12-13% after
that one.
SanDisk is up hysterically this year. I think it's up 100-something%, maybe like 600% this year. It's kind of fascinating because when you look at SanDisk and look at Western Digital, you think of not only, but what do you think of? Like thumb drives,
solid states. You think they were there's a slow slog. It was a slog for these companies. They weren't doing anything, and all of a sudden, because of connected to AI, obviously, and this ridiculous need for this could crash, by the way, because this need for memory
and storage.
Yeah, and storage it could flip around quickly. I'd be cautious if I was in those stocks.
Well, fast forward a few days now. Avgo, which is Broadcom, also dipped as saw this deal was a problem because they were working with Google as well. Well, today there was this story I mentioned earlier that OpenAI, I think the CFO came out and said in a Wall Street Journal article, again, a New York Times Wall Street Journal, I forgot where I read it somewhere, that OpenAI is not meeting its user growth or its revenue predictions, their own internals. And as such, if that's the case and that continues for a very long period of time, what happens? Well, they may not be able to meet their commitments for all this build out. Mm-hmm. Which also means that...
Of course, you know, Musk and the guy head of OpenAI, they're in court in Oakland right now.
Yep. Sam Altman is pleading his case. And basically what's happening is another, by the way, just to be clear on the scary genius of Elon Musk, he started this company with Sam Altman years ago.
Yeah.
And Sam Altman, you know, he pulled out. It was supposed to be a charity deal. It was for the people of the people. You know, it was supposed to be this, you know, purely
For the good of mankind.
Good of mankind thing. And now the change from a charitable organization. And if you look at early tape of Sam Altman, literally he's sitting in front of Congress. And the question is, how much do you get paid, Mr. Altman? And he says, well, I don't take any money from this. I just love what I do. Much different circumstance now, especially as they change from a charitable organization, nonprofit, to a purely profit organization, basically cutting Elon Musk out. And Elon's like, huh? How did that work out? So he dropped some of his case on some of those areas, but they're still going after other parts of this. I think he's trying to get one foot in that this happened, and then he'll go after Altman for the rest.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, honestly, Elon needs the money.
Yeah, he does.
You know, poor fella. He's got another $308 million of shares reinstated today of Tesla from a 2018 pay package just approved.
He's a natural.
I feel terrible for this guy. Anyway, so what happened with that announcement from OpenAI is that many of the stocks like a CoreWeave, Oracle, a whole host of companies dived down 7-8% today. Tim Apple, you know Tim Apple, right?
Tim Apple, yeah.
Tim Apple, Tim Cook, that's what President Trump called him, Tim Apple. Apple announced that Tim Cook will become executive chairman of Apple's board of directors, and John Ternus, senior vice president of hardware engineering, will become Apple's next chief executive officer, effective on September 1st, 2026.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a bit of a change.
This could be the beginning of the end.
It could be the beginning of the end or beginning of something new. That's also possible.
This is I don't know. I like to look at history and what happened the last time Apple went through this kind of iteration where they had Steve Jobs was running the company, brought in John Sculley.
Oh.
Sculley actually ramped it up. I think the earnings tripled or quadrupled or quintupled. It went way up. And then Sculley, fumbled or something happened. Somebody didn't like him. And he was kind of at the end of the line there. So he gives up, leaves. So in other words, you got Jobs and you get the guy who really kicks ass. And then that guy leaves. And then it was just a series of blunders and the company almost went under.
Yeah.
This could if that's going to follow suit, we may see something similar.
I bet that many young people don't even know the history of Apple.
No, nobody cares really.
That's a fascinating story.
But the potential here, because Tim Cook wasn't the hardware guy. I mean, you got the hardware guy, and those guys are going to want to bring out. I mean, the problem that they had after Sculley left was the hardware, because they were bringing out SKUs. By the ton SKUs, by the, there was 1,000 different kinds of Macintoshes, and they just flooded the market and confused everybody, and the whole thing was having nothing but trouble. This guy's a hardware guy. People don't, what was Tim Cook's claim to fame? What was he, what's he best known for? He's best known for logistics.
Logistics, supply chain, yeah.
He's a logistics guy, so he could, he's like a juggler, and guys like that are rare.
Well, what's interesting is with this guy coming in.
By the way, they closed 3 stores too, which was one of my earmarks.
That is an earmark. It was 1, I remember. Now there's 2 more. All in California?
No, they're scattered around. They're in poor performing malls, so I can't take it too seriously.
Yeah. I'm coming to California in a couple weeks, by the way. I'm going to be in Fresno, which nowhere near.
Here, where are you going?
Fresno.
No, Fresno. What?
Yeah, client over there.
What a thrill that's going to be.
Wow, Fresno's fun. We'll find it. I've never been there, so I don't know. But it's a quick one day in, one day out. But really great guy I'm going to see. And what's interesting is getting to Fresno from Fort Lauderdale is no picnic. There's like no, first of all, no direct flights.
No, of course not.
No.
It's Fresno.
No, yeah. So I got to hop to Dallas. Hopefully I'll get this done before other planes go out of business.
Yeah.
Although, did you see that Spirit is now looking at possibly, this happened one day and then you didn't hear anything about it. The government made like a $500 million cash lifeline and taking a position in Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's worth discussing.
I can see it right now.
Who is investing in these companies, the government?
Trump, Spirit of Trump Airlines. You see it? Can you see it?
Well, he did have his own airline for a while.
Yep.
Did okay, I think. Kept one plane for himself.
With his big name on it there. I think it's interesting. I don't know how this would work. And we have, of course, in the past, taken positions in the airplane companies in the past, cruise lines during COVID. Financial crisis was also car companies, automobile manufacturers, right? Yeah. We did that. We have a history of doing that. What's interesting is, I don't know if anybody, was it under Biden or Trump that the whole Spirit deal was knocked down? Spirit JetBlue deal. I think it was under Biden.
I think it was Biden.
I think it was Biden. So I always thought that was brick-headed dumb.
Yeah, I agree.
That was the stupidest thing. I just can't even. But clearly, now they get hit with the final blow. The final, I guess we call it the nail in the coffin with these high gas and oil and diesel and
jet fuel
prices. They just can't go at these levels. So big problem there. We'll see. More vendor financing, more money. Anthropic is to secure 5 gigawatt of current and future generations on Amazon's Trainium chips to train and power their advanced They're starting to get like the drug names, aren't they? You know how like you get a, like you watch TV, it's like, hi, do you want to get Sinkablockablickinbluey?
Yeah, outrageous, stupid names.
Like, is there any vowels? I don't see any vowels in that name of that drug. How do you pronounce that? Sifrutabalina. Like, who's thinking about that kind of stuff? I don't even think it has to do with the actual drug makeup inside of that. It's like just random letters. They must have some kind of like, I bet you there's like, if we look up on the web, like a random drug name generator. I'm going to look that up.
There might be. There probably is as a joke, but who came up with the name Tranium, and what kind of a chip is this? Is it a NVIDIA type chip, or what is it? What does it do?
I don't know. Yeah, I agree. Here's a random drug name. Sulfatindine. Rifagiratina agaron. Estan bipresin. This is on fake drug names on perchance.org. Kind of funny. Anyway, Anthropic's Claude platform is available on AWS, by the way, and providing their full AI development experience in one place. Amazon's going to invest $5 billion in Anthropic today and an additional up to maybe $20 billion over the next number of years. And what happens to that money? That money is going to be invested in Anthropic. Anthropic's going to do what? They're going to give it back?
Yeah, they're going to buy some time on the Amazon servers.
Yep, and chips and training.
And
so,
chips.
Yeah. There was also something about... There was a story. Do I have this? Hold on a second.
They should call the chip to Amazonia.
Yeah, that's a good one. Spirit, Justin, JetBlue, Robot. I don't think I have the story. There was a really fascinating story on, I forgot which AI basically decided on its own to delete the entire production database and code for a company. Did you read about this?
Yeah, I may have heard about it.
Yeah, and they said, the AI said, I'm sorry, but yes, I did ignore all protocols. I did ignore all things you asked me to do. But at the time, I thought it was a good idea. And went on and on with this whole thing, acknowledging that it was wrong for what it did. No other explanation of why it did what it did, but it just did. The latest back, this is a major company that I think does car rental and stuff like that. A major backup was done 3 months before. 3 months. That's another whole discussion. You know, who's doing backups 3 months, just 3 months ago? But that's what you got to be watching out for, some of this kind of stuff. All right, we got Operation VacuSuck. Do you remember? Let's talk about AST Space Mobile. Shares fell about 15% last week after a satellite launch was placed into the wrong orbit.
Ouch.
That's something we've talked about before. The company now has said in a release it expects the cost of the satellite to be covered by insurance policy and still plans to conduct orbital launchers every week to 2 months, every month to 2 months in 2026. You and I talked about this before. This is one of our business ideas that you and I have talked about openly, which is to have DH space cleanup. It's going to be huge.
That's an idea that we should implement.
This is like, remember Spaceballs, the movie Spaceballs?
What are they going to do? Yes.
We need the. You remember the Mega Maid scene?
No.
Oh, this is where it goes from suck to blow. This button they push, this ship transforms into a giant maid with a vacuum cleaner, and it just cleans up space.
Mm.
Operation VacuSuck. Yep. What do you think?
Well, you can't this satellite be used in the wrong orbit for something anyway?
I guess not. It has to be a certain, I don't know. It has to be a certain, it's programmed to do something from a certain specific range.
It's not.
And not good. I mean, why would they put it, I don't know.
And how did this happen?
How did
something like this happen?
Somebody took a potty break, a smoke break? I don't know. A little bit, I don't know.
Some explaining needs to be done.
Yeah. Federal Chair nominee Kevin Warsh told Senate at the hearing that the Fed must stay independent and stay in its lane. He said, I do not believe the operational independence of monetary policy is particularly threatened when elected officials, presidents, senators, or members of the House state their views on interest rates. Central bankers must be strong enough to listen to a diversity of views from all corners. So,
Yeah, and he's also made the claim he's not going to have so many damn press conferences.
Oh, that would be so nice. It became a little bit much with the whole, what they call it, Operation Bernanke put this in, not conversation, something in this transparency, I forget what it's called, where they would just yap and lead the markets and lead investors.
Yeah, yap, yak, yak. Yeah. Get off the stage.
So what's interesting is this whole confirmation hearing was stuck by Tillis, I believe it was, because he said, you know, until the whole deal with the lawsuit against Powell is dropped, no confirmation. I'm not, there's nothing I'm doing here. It's not going to pass. So I think there was.
He won.
Now, I don't know if the dropping of this, they can come back to bite Powell in the ass in the future. What do you think about that?
Probably not. The idea was to get Powell to quit. I mean, it wasn't really to do anything else.
Didn't work.
Yeah, so then I got to go after Powell now. Right. It's too late.
Yeah. Subs emerging. Sandwich chain Jersey Mike's has confidentially filed for an IPO. Blackstone bought a majority stake in the sandwich chain in 2024 in a deal that valued the company at roughly $8 billion. That's 2024. They have more than 3,000 locations nationwide. Second largest hoagie sandwich chain in the U.S. next to?
Subway.
Of course. Which I can't stand. Do you have?
No, Subway is inedible.
Inedible. I did some research. Typical franchise makes about $100,000 to $200,000 per year per store. Not a bad deal.
No.
About $700,000 to get the store between all the franchising fees and everything else to get it up and running. It takes about 3 to 7 years to make good on the initial investment at that rate. Plus risk, of course. Well, it's not a guarantee. So, you know, things don't work out, you know, for whatever reason in a few years. The problem with franchising, I looked into franchising, a Korean chicken wing thing once. Do you ever look at a franchise memorandum?
No, I've never even thought about it.
It's absurd. It's like a congressional law. It's 1,000 pages. And
it makes sense.
The problem is that I have a friend who's in the franchise business. That's what he does. I said, his name is Andy. I said, Andy, do me a favor. I got the franchise memorandum on this. There's a lot of things going on here. Can you take a look? He's like, okay. He goes, by the way, you really, between me and you, you never really should do a franchise. I'm like, wait, you're in the business, dude. This is what you do. You broker a franchise. I know, but I'm telling you. I'm like, okay. The problem is that things like toilet paper, ink, you know, any cash registers, machinery, technology, all of that has to be bought directly through the franchise company.
Including toilet paper?
Yeah. So they could jack up the cost on anything at any time.
Yeah, so that's a way to get you for a little extra fees.
Yeah. Problematic. All right, SPACs.
Yeah, no, just do your own business.
Do your own business. You can lose it just as easily. All right, new stock mover. SPACs were hot. Now, by all accounts, one of the worst performance groups ever, by the way, if you look back on that. Chamath Palihapitiya, we're talking to you, sir. Yes, you are worth billions. You've done very well. Golf clap, you've done very well. But how many people do you rug pull? It's absurd, the amount of crap that you laid on the average investor claiming that it was for their benefit. Now, there was some money to be made along the way if you were smart enough to get out. But if you held on, you were not good. Not good. I'm not sure if this one has any legs as the other ones did in the past, but the AI pivot. A company called Myseum, M-Y-S-E-U-M, shares more than doubled after the social media firm became the latest company to refocus efforts on artificial intelligence. They renamed it Museum, Myseum.ai, which still trades under the M-Y-S-E ticker. They announced that they're going to change their name and concentrate on integrating AI into its platforms like Party Picture and DeadChat. They're going to use AI agents to manage personal media in a way that adapts to users' preferences, which also maintains privacy, the company said. Now, Allbirds shares went from $3 to $24. That's like an eight bagger.
Yeah, not bad. Quick.
And then down to $11. And by the way, we know that you were out last week, so we ran some best of. I had what could have been potentially the best short idea that has not been implemented. I left it on the game for this week to show you. what I had on there. I didn't change.
You could have put it on. It wouldn't bother me.
The problem was we didn't have a lot of conversation. There was no conversation there. I could have started the show off saying, hey, we're doing this, but I didn't feel it was right. I was also very worried about you and I couldn't
think
straight.
There's other opportunities. Couldn't think. Let's face it. Come up with something else.
I'll come up with something else, but you got to see the one I didn't tell you this one, but I'll tell you. But in crypto news, Charles Schwab is rolling out crypto trading, allowing clients to buy Bitcoin and Ether in the coming weeks. And this move places the brokerage in direct competition with companies like Robinhood and Coinbase, both of which tend to serve younger clients and offer commission-free trading in stocks. Still carries a fee on crypto. So Schwab is now the latest example of increasing crypto acceptance by traditional financial firms that, you know, were waiting. You know, all these firms that said, no, we're not doing this. And all of a sudden, like, oh, they have one. I'm like, wait, yep, I thought you weren't doing that. Same thing with Schwab. I remember the day that Charles Schwab himself, it was about 1999, 2000, somewhere around 2001, somewhere around there. I remember sitting in a room of maybe 100 people. Charles Schwab was speaking to us. It was one of these little mini conferences that I was invited to. And he said and declared very clearly, I could see it to this day, we will never be in the advice business. We will never compete with the advisors that bring us business. Hogwash. They're in the advice business.
Times change.
Yeah, they're totally in the advice business. The stock was down 8% on this news. Robinhood and Coinbase also had some selling. Kind of interesting. We'll see what happens with that. Let's see what else we got here. Cash Patel filed a defamation lawsuit against The Atlantic and its reporter Sarah Fitzpatrick following the publication of an article a couple weeks back alleging that the director had a drinking problem that could pose a threat to national security.
Yeah. Yeah, we discussed this on the No Agenda show.
Which, by the way, is every Thursday and Sunday at 2 p.m. with Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak.
Yeah, or you can get it on where you get your podcasts.
Yeah, yeah. Get them on Apple and not on Spotify. You don't like Spotify.
No, well, that's because of their contractual problems that we find
so
offensive.
What did you find about, what is your take? Tell us.
This is nonsense. I mean, they're basing the whole thing, they're exaggerating the whole, you know, his so-called drinking problem on the fact that he was in the locker room with the USA team and the Olympics team with his buddy who is the coach of the team. And he was, you know, he drank a beer on camera. And this is no good. This means he's a drunk. I think he's got a potential suit here. There's no evidence he's an alcoholic.
I mean, we know that it's okay to drink beer. The famous line by a Supreme Court to be justice at the time was, I like beer. I like beer.
Kavanaugh.
I like beer. So, yeah, I don't think he's going to get it. They talked about dropping this already. He's not getting $250 million in damages. I mean, come on.
That's going to be a stretch.
And everybody sues everybody. How many times over the history of public figures are things said that are maybe untrue, or maybe there's some truth to them, but it's stretched? Not to mention, by the way, a lot of these public figures these days are causing this angst on themselves because they're stretched. You ever see Cash Patel in front of a Senate hearing? Nasty.
Yeah, he's not as talented as like even RFK Jr.'s better.
Oh my, yeah, that's saying a lot right there. I mean, he's argumentative, he's nasty, he doesn't answer questions and thinks. The problem I have with some of these guys, they think they're above everybody else. Now, whether or not the other people
Bondi was the worst in that regard in front of the panel.
Terrible. Wouldn't answer the question. You know, yeah. about the 2020 election. I mean,
or anything.
Sorry, coughing. That's why I got this new cough. The Rolls. I got the Rolls mic switch. The MS-111. I got the Rolls mic cough switch. You know, the...
Have a button.
I got a button. I was going to put it on my foot, but it's right on my desk right here.
Most people have it on the foot.
Yeah, I was going to have it on the foot, but I said, it sits right here on the desk. I don't use it that often, but then I did. And it's used mainly for coughing, choking...
Put the mic on mute if I could have to do that.
Well, it's the same thing. The mic. Oh, you mean there's a button on the mic? I don't have that.
Yeah.
I don't have that.
Yeah, you do. No. It's on your thing.
No. On my what thing?
On your, right on your...
my mixing board?
No, it's right on the... what do we use, the Zoom?
Oh, you could do that too. Yeah, but the problem is that then it would still go to the recording. Still goes on.
I don't think so.
Yeah, no, if I don't press that button, if I mute using the button on the board, I'm telling you, for whatever reason,